If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The First Strike, First Look right here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross, joined by the man they call the Bully. One of the baddest men on the planet at 145 pounds. He is Ricardo Lamas. Ricardo, it's great to have you in advance here on First Strike, First Look of Saturday's big UFC 274 pay-per-view. And first of all, one, I miss your musk. I miss your scent. It's been a minute, my friend. And here, obviously, we can't give the people what they want, which is to see your face here on First Strike, First Look. But I got to know, are you still rocking the mohawk like you normally would on a fight week?
It's a bit shaggy right now, Dave. But, you know, when I get the chance to go to the barber, the mohawk always makes his return. Business up front, mohawk in the back. You know how we do.
There it
you
is. We know exactly how you do there in the great city of Chicago. Hey, Ricardo, we wanted to have you on, obviously, for many different reasons. But, you know, when you look at Justin Gaethje against Charles Oliveira and you've got the 155-pound strap on the line here and DuBronx all of a sudden feels like he's reaching a different level, I'd be remiss if I didn't remind the listening audience out there that you once stepped into that octagon with the man that now might be regarded as one of the better lightweight champions we've seen and took care of business against Charles Oliveira. So if you were to advise Justin Gaethje on a game plan Saturday night, what would said game plan be?
Was that me? I did that?
That was you. That was you.
It's been so long, I almost forgot. Thank you for reminding me, Dave, and thank you for reminding the viewers and listeners out there. You know, my advice to Justin Gaethje would just to be Justin Gaethje. I mean, anything else would just feel wrong, watching him go into a fight with a specific game plan or trying to keep it on the ground or something like that. You know, Justin Gaethje is just this type of guy that's built to go to war. He loves standing in front of guys, moving forward and just punishing them. And I feel like when Charles Oliveira finds himself in those situations, he kind of gets in a little bit of trouble. We saw it, you know, in the fight against Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler almost had him out in the first round, but luckily he survived. You know, we could be talking about a completely different fight if, you know, it would have one little thing went different. Michael Chandler could be the champ. So nobody is unbeatable, and I would just suggest to Gaethje to go out there and do his thing like he always does.
Seeing Gaethje right now, the comeback, about a plus $1.45 here. Oliveira about minus $1.65. betting favorite here. Obviously, this is going to change as we get closer and closer to the main event on Saturday night. But that's interesting, Ricardo, because you're saying Justin Gaethje, you have to be you, which is the freelancing, kind of figure it out as the fight goes on type guy. Did you have a specific game plan against DuBronx, or was it like, hey, he can't handle my wrestling, and I'm going to go ahead and show him? Now, again, that was at it was a while ago. We understand that, but it still doesn't change the fact that you took care of business against a guy that nobody seems to be able to beat right now.
Yeah. You know, going into that fight, our fight was kind of on short notice. You know, that was back when I was scheduled to fight BJ Penn. And then a week out from that event, the entire event was canceled. So they were kind of scrambling to find me a new opponent. And they came up with Charles Oliveira about a month later. So I went home to Chicago, came back to Miami and started retraining for that camp again. And there wasn't much of a game plan going in. We knew his strengths at the time. We knew his best submissions. You know, he's got that really good kind of variation of an anaconda and a guillotine mixed together. So my jiu-jitsu coach, Daniel Valverde, one of the best jiu-jitsu practitioners in the world, was kind of versing me on how to escape that. which if you go back and look at the fight, I did, you know, he went for it. I escaped it. And I think that, you know, Charles, when you kind of defend against his best submissions, against his bread and butter, he kind of gets a little bit mentally defeated. So I think that Justin Gaethje kind of needs to do the same thing. And, you know, maybe weather that storm in the first round the same way that I did against Charles Oliveira. But then Charles Oliveira is also going to have to weather the storm that Justin Gaethje is going to bring him. You know, this fight is a hard one to call when I think about it, because Justin is just one of these guys where you don't know what is going to happen. You don't know what he's going to do. And he could put your lights out with one punch.
Ricardo, that's very interesting. You mentioned that here, the ferocity that Justin Gaethje brings into that octagon, and we're all familiar with it. The over-under right now for this potential five-round matchup, the over at 1.5, it's juiced at minus $1.95. But how about that? That a lot of people think this fight's going to be over relatively quickly to put the over-under at 1.5. Is there a way that we could see Gaethje be technical like he was, I thought, in his best performance against Tony Ferguson, where we expected that wild style and we never got it, and we got a disciplined Justin Gaethje, and he was easily able to take care of Tony Ferguson because of that style?
Yeah, you know, I think we've kind of seen Justin Gaethje begin to pace himself in these fights. You know, we saw that against Ferguson. We even saw that a little bit in the fight against Chandler. He's not rushing in, which when he did that in the past, he kind of found himself in trouble and he may have gotten clipped here and there. And that's how he got stopped a few times in the past, like by Dustin Poirier and such. So we've definitely seen him, I think, mature as a fighter. And now he's starting to learn the game a little better and learn that, hey, you know, I don't have to go 100% right out of the gate. I can pace myself and then I won't gas out in the later rounds. So I think we're just seeing that evolution of a fighter that, you know, the more fights you get in the UFC, the more you're in the water with those sharks, you learn how to swim with them better.
Yeah, no question about it. This is First Strike, First Look here on VSiN. Dave Ross, joined by the man they call the Bully, Ricardo Lamas. Follow him on Twitter as I do, at Ricardo Lamas MMA. One of the few men on the planet that was able to beat the guy that's going to be in the main event, Charles Dubronx Oliveira, on Saturday night with that strap on the line. There are two title bouts, Ricardo, on this card. The other one, Rose Namajunas in a rematch against Carla Esparza here. And you can understand that Thug Rose is a solid favorite in this one, over $2 favorites against Esparza to keep her crown at 115 pounds. At first strike, first look, what do you make of this matchup here? Why could it be different if people want to back the dog in Esparza?
Well, I mean, number one, Carla Esparza won that first fight back in the Ultimate Fighter, I believe it was the Ultimate Fighter finale, and they faced each other there. Carla Esparza came out the victor, so now is the chance for redemption for Rose Namajunas, and Rose has been looking terrific. I mean, she's a completely different fighter from when they fought the first time, but Carla Esparza does have that confidence in her, you know, knowing that she had beaten her in the past. So if there's one thing that you need going into any fight, it's confidence. So we don't know what can happen, you know, and it wouldn't be a terrible thing to bet on Esparza because she's beaten Rose before. And if you beat someone before, you can beat him again.
You know, that's interesting too, because you and I have talked that on many different shows in our time together, Ricardo, that again, you know, you think what might be different here for Carla Esparza the first time around? Well, she doesn't have to change a thing. Rose has got to change everything. And Rose is that type of fighter, as dynamic as she is. And Ricardo, this is another conversation we've had before where it feels like she can get in her own head. Is Carla Esparza in her head because she beat her? I know it's a long time ago, but you mentioned sometimes rematches don't change very much from what we saw the first time around.
Yeah, you know, I was just about to touch on that, Dave, and you hit it right on the head. I think, you know, Rose Namajunas in the past, her biggest enemy has kind of been herself, where she has gotten in her head. It seems like she's fixed that a little bit. You can see kind of her mantras before the fight starts, kind of repeating to herself, I'm the best. But, you know, a truly confident person doesn't really have to be repeating that to themselves over and over. So we'll see on Saturday if she's really fixed that bug in her head, because this is going to be the biggest test for her going up against somebody who has beaten her in the past. I mean, you know, when it comes to the mental part of the game, getting over that hump is one of the biggest ones in MMA.
And here we go, because you look at the over-under again in this five-round championship bout. Over is juiced at minus $1.85, 4.5 rounds. So, Ricardo, we know what the Cookie Monster wants to do. She wants to wrestle, right? We know what Rose wants to do. She wants to strike. Do you think this goes deep into the Arizona night here, that this potentially goes to the cards?
I think that in Carlos Sparza's best interest, that's going to be what she's going to want to do. You know, she's going to want to drag Rose down early in the fight, kind of wear her out and, you know, grind out to a big decision win. I think Rose Namajunas, on the other hand, not only is her striking terrific, but her submission game is not to be gawked at either. So she's a very well-rounded fighter. And if it hits the ground, you know, I could see her pulling off a sub as well.
That is going to be the second of the two title bouts on display on Saturday night. And then when you have Tony Ferguson against Michael Chandler, two guys that have certainly had title aspirations in the past, I am stunned when I see that Michael Chandler is an over $4 favorite. Now, I know that Tony Ferguson might not look like the same guy. He's had some injuries to his knees. What do you make of this matchup here? Because, again, I got to think Chandler wants to throw that right hand. He wants to wrestle. Tony Ferguson, I never know what to expect whenever he steps foot in an octagon.
Yeah, you know, I agree 100%. I think the odds makers here are kind of overlooking Tony Ferguson. I mean, this guy, he is hard to put away. I mean, if you look at his fight against Justin Gaethje, you know, the ref had to come in and stop the fight for Tony's own good. But Tony, there is no quit in this guy. And, you know, he's very unorthodox, and he pulls techniques out of nowhere. Very unorthodox techniques that you don't see coming, that you don't really have a chance to train for in training camp. So for Michael Chandler being that big of a favorite, you know, I don't know. I'd like it to see a little more even. Because Tony Ferguson, you know, he's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, to quote Forrest Gump.
It's a great Forrest Gump line. And it's true, because with Ferguson, you just don't know. Is he going to come out breakdancing? Is he going to try to get the fight down to the ground? Does he want to use some of those bizarre striking techniques that he uses? He's so unorthodox against, you know, you don't want to just call Michael Chandler an orthodox fighter, but he's pretty straightforward, right? I mean, it's going to be, if you were going up against Chandler, you know what to look for. Look out for the right hand and look for the wrestling, because that's what he's going to want to try to implore to slow down Tony, right? To try to make take away that freelancing ability that Ferguson likes to utilize.
Exactly. You know, Michael Chandler has said it himself in interviews and pre-fight shows that, you know, he's the type of guy that trains the basics that work, and he trains them so well that it doesn't matter if you know they're coming, he's going to do it anyway, and he's going to catch you with it. You know, he trains that 1-2 more than anything else, his double leg. So, you know, he's going in there and looking to end this fight with a nice right hand is what I see coming. And with a guy like Tony Ferguson, you know, who's so unorthodox, you know, you got one guy that trains the basics and one guy that trains the whatever's out there, you know, like, I don't know what this guy's taking before practice, but he comes up with some wild stuff. So when you have two styles like that meeting each other, you can't really tell what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's why I'm with you. I look, I get it. Chandler's a solid favorite, but over a $4 betting favorite, one of the biggest in the entire fight card, that seems a little bit overpriced from my inkling there with Michael Chandler. Let's talk about the former champ, Shogun Hua, is back into the octagon, taking on Ovince St. Preux. Now, Ovince St. Preux right now over a $2 favorite against Mauricio here. What do you make of Shogun getting back in that octagon?
You know, this is one of these guys that it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell if he's done. It's hard to tell if he's got more in the tank. We're going to see. One thing I do want to know about this fight is, what is the over-under of Ovince St. Preux finishing this fight with the Von Preux choke?
Oh, my God. Right. I mean, if there's ever a guy by submission with one of the more bizarre chokes we've ever seen, that's what Ovince St. Preux likes to do. So, you know, he wants to get this fight down to the ground. And that's certainly something that Hua wants to avoid in his return to the octagon. You got the cowboy Donald Cerrone back in there against Joe Lozon. I mean, you've got some legends that are fighting on this card as well. Very deep card. Again, are you like me that you get kind of like caught up in the old guys, the nostalgia when you see Shogun, you see Cowboy back in there? But from a betting perspective, I don't know that that's always the best way to go. Obviously, my dad always taught me, bet with your head, not your heart.
Yes, I've been wrong many times betting with my heart instead of my head. But, you know, you just got to do it sometimes. you know, and seeing these guys, the Donald Cerrone and Joe Lozon, this is a great fight. I mean, these are guys, two guys that have been around for a very long time. It's almost like a legacy fight. You know, I think UFC should stick with more fights like this, maybe open up a legacy division. Then, hey, you know, maybe I'll come back.
Whoa. Is that breaking news here on First Strike, First Look that Ricardo Lamas might come out of retirement for a legacy fight? And if you were to have a legacy fight, Ricardo, who do you want to fight?
Yeah, you know, there'd be a lot of names out there. I'd have to see who's the most enticing and who would bring the most money. But I mean, if UFC opened up kind of a legacy division, I'm all in for that one.
You know, Conor McGregor called you out not that long ago. He said, you want me to stay in the 145-pound ranks and fight the Ricardo Lamases of the world? We never saw that fight. Would that intrigue you?
Of course it intrigued me. It intrigued me if the money's right, you know? I'm getting older, Dave. I'm about those bucks now, my friend.
Well, let me ask you this. The question everybody wants to know in America, what do you weigh?
I'm still 170 sexy. It fluctuates.
170 sexy. There he is, everybody. Follow him on Twitter at Ricardo Lamas MMA. Ricardo, very quickly before we let you go, tell everybody about the gym you have going on back there, back home in Chicago.
Yeah, I got a UFC gym over in Naperville, west suburb of Chicago. So if anybody's around, want to come in, hit the bag a little bit, come check us out. We're at 790 Royal St. George Drive in Naperville, Illinois.
There he is, everybody. Again, when this thing's all over, I think we should get an apartment together. Ricardo Lamas, everybody. He is the bully. Always great. And appreciate your time and information, Ricardo, as always.
Thanks, Dave. Have a good one.
There it is, everybody. First Strike, First Look on a Tuesday. Of course, we'll be back with First Strike on Friday in advance of UFC 274, two title bouts, Saturday night in Arizona. Thanks for listening to First Strike, First Look.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.